This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few? Yeah, that's this show.
Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just got to call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes until somebody passes out. And then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No!
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
And we are off and running live on a Friday in the A. It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app. Nick Hale and former Falcons wide receiver Harry Douglas in for Carl and Mike today as we're with you for the next 5 hours. Harry Douglas, happy Thanksgiving, bro. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. I'm happy to be here with you, Nick, because we're about to bring the people some of that fire. Not that fire, Nick, that fire. That's how we say it down south, that fire. We're about to bring everybody that fire.
I like it, man. I like it. If you are out shopping, if you're navigating the Black Friday chaos, we thank you for spending some time with us. The phone number, as always, 404-741-0929. That is also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You can hit up Harry on Twitter at HDouglas83. You can get me on Twitter at Nick Kale. Bo Johnson is the chairman of the board today. What up, Bo? How you doing, bud?
I'm doing fine, fellas. I still got a full stomach from yesterday, but gonna hit up some leftovers later on this evening.
Yeah, full stomach. Yes, we got like 8 minute commercial break, so you can navigate down the hallway if you need to.
Leftovers. You know, I love yourself. The sound of it.
There you go. All right, so we got a lot of good stuff today. David Walker from the Falcoholic coming up at 2:40. So, Harry, I got to tell you, yesterday's about three things, right? It's about family, it's about food, and it's about football. I can't help people with family issues. It's above my pay grade. The food, always pretty good. But I just can't do it anymore with the football on Thanksgiving. I don't know about you. You played in the league. I'll defer to you. But I'm done with Detroit and I'm done with Dallas. Can we please change up and start a new tradition on Thanksgiving?
Listen, Nick, I 100% agree with you. I am tired of seeing Dallas and Detroit play. I am tired of seeing the Detroit team bring their non-winning, non-physical, non-this, I don't even know. I just don't. I'm tired of seeing them on Thursdays on a day that you're happy, you're with your family, you're eating all kind of things, because they seem to stink up the place every time they are on TV for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I'm so with you. And like, they've been doing this tradition since 1934. They have a tradition of being so bad for so long. I mean, my God, they're a franchise that drove not only one, but two Hall of Fame players into premature retirement in Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson. And then you get Dallas, who, they're America's team, a quarter century of irrelevance. And for 7 hours yesterday, both Detroit and Dallas, both at home, give up 41 spots to less than savory teams in Houston and Washington. It was brutal.
They both looked terrible yesterday, and they're the reason why. Listen, I'll tell you this. I don't really understand why Jerry Jones chose Mike McCarthy as his head coach, because he doesn't fit. Listen, when you look at this Dallas Cowboy football team, I look at Ezekiel Elliott, and I look at that offensive line. When they're healthy, they're a predominantly run-first football team. Now, they have some great skill people, some great wide receivers. They have a decent tight end and things of that such, but they are a run football team first. I don't remember an offensive Mike McCarthy team being a run team first. All the teams I've seen in Green Bay were pass the football, throw the football, use the quick pass game as the run game. I'm going to put a receiver in the backfield and let him be the running back, and we're going to play that way. We're going to let Randall Cobb play some quarterback at some times also and play running back and get some plays. So let's just pretend that's the run game for that team when it came to Green Bay. I just don't understand what Jerry Jones was thinking. I still don't, because Mike McCarthy yesterday, the game was 20-16, Nick,
yep,
with about 12 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And it's not like the Washington football team was driving up and down the field just scoring at will. They decide to run a fake punt on 4th and 10. And I don't know who in the hell made that decision. But if it was Mike McCarthy, but then I don't even like the way in his post-game presser, the way he was acting about it. Well, you can't think negatively. Listen, you have to go through all the scenarios in your mind that if this fake punt doesn't work, they're going to get the football probably at the 23-yard line, which occurred. They did not get the first down. And the very next play for the Washington football team was a 23-yard rushing touchdown by what was his name?
Antonio Gibson.
By Antonio Gibson.
Yep. Yeah, it's just, yeah, I just feel like Mike McCarthy has looked like a big-time clown this year. And, you know, you mentioned the fourth down going for it. Then they ran the fake punt. They went for it once in their own territory. I mean, you could easily make the case that that's a 17-16 game before it gets completely out of hand. And I'm at a point now, and look, I get it. The guy won a Super Bowl. But my God, I'm starting to wonder if Mike McCarthy is nothing more than the product of having two Hall of Fame quarterbacks in Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. I know we lost Dak, but my God, the decisions this guy makes, and he's just standing on the sideline expressionless, it's like Jason Garrett 2.0.
I think we need to start looking at things of this nature with this mindset. What have you done for me lately?
Yeah.
And when you look at, listen, yesterday you just mentioned some of the things that occurred yesterday. They had a fumble loss. They were 0-3, probably 0-4, 0-3 in the red zone. They had two turnovers. They had an interception for a touchdown.
Right.
They only had 60 yards rushing. When was the last time you can even imagine a Dallas Cowboys football team offensively only rushing for 60 yards in a football game?
It feels like just a perfect storm of struggles, right? Because Dak goes down, and clearly Dak, his value has skyrocketed in his absence. Tyron Smith at offensive line is banged up. And I think even Aikman alluded to it yesterday that Zeke has lost a little bit of a burst. And sure, you're losing your quarterback and your war daddies up front hurts, but Zeke doesn't look like the same running back.
Well, probably because I'm faded, bro. I'm faded, bro. Listen, Zeke. Stop the nonsense in the offseason. Stop the nonsense. The season that you're having right now is not one of your best.
Yep.
You have fumbled entirely too many times. I remember vividly you fumbled 3 times against the Atlanta Falcons, to be exact. That's your 5th fumble on the football year. All right, now it's time to self-reflect. Look in the mirror. What do I need to do better? Okay, I'm not as good as I thought I was. But listen, you can't go into the following season saying, this is what I did last year. Nobody cares about that, because people are trying to knock your block off. People are trying to make a name off of you. So your mindset coming into that following year has to be different. And that's what Zeke has to understand. He has to self-reflect and see what he needs to do better, or the last part of this year, understand what he needs to do better to help his ball team.
And look, we can make the excuse, or at least point out the fact, at least McCarthy, you know, he lost Dak Prescott to injury. He's got somewhat of a mulligan in year one. But you go to Detroit. Oh. I mean, we're going to sit here. And what's Matt Patricia's excuse? I mean, this guy was, he's a Belichick disciple. Detroit basically said, we're going to fire Jim Caldwell, who had a winning record in Detroit, which is kind of hard to do if you look at the history of the Lions. And we're going to replace him with a gym teacher with a bushy beard and a pencil above his ear because he was on Belichick's staff. He didn't even realize he had 3 timeouts before halftime yesterday. And they ran out of time in the first half against Houston.
Listen, I don't even understand, and you have to take it to the management part when you look at this Lions football team. Listen, like you just alluded to, you fired Jim Caldwell, who was doing a decent job there in Detroit.
Yep.
You hire Matt Patricia, who has done nothing with the Detroit Lions since he arrived there. Now management has to make a difficult decision. Do you fire Patricia? Do you keep Patricia? Because it's a lot of young guys in the National Football League right now whose names is buzzing that can actually make that football team thrive and strive and do what they have to do to be successful.
I got to tell you, man, watching those two games yesterday were brutal. And normally, in normal times, we would get the third game of the triple header. It's usually the best game. Maybe it's not even a division rivalry. I love to get the nap in between the second game and the third game. After that Dallas game was over yesterday, man, I didn't get to have the best nap of the year after the Thanksgiving dinner. I just basically went right to bed. I was so tired of bad football that I couldn't even bother to stay up and try to find something on television. That's how rough it was for me personally.
And listen, what was it yesterday about Thanksgiving? Every team wanted to showcase the trick plays that they had in their bag just on Thanksgiving. What happened to those plays that you're probably going to try previously to Thanksgiving or after Thanksgiving when you probably need them? But I've seen all kind of running back handoffs, throw back to the quarterback, throw it downfield. You've seen the Washington football team hand it off to Logan Thomas, who was a quarterback in college, throw it down to Terry McLaurin. It was all kind of trickery going on. You see the Lions, Matthew Stafford, get blasted in the end zone after trying to – catch the football that was thrown to him, which I don't know. I want to know who designed that play, because it's not like Matthew Stafford has the mindset, you know what, somebody's going to come hit me. I'm going to catch this football regardless and let it be a touchdown because I'm going to get hit regardless. So you might as well catch it. I say the same thing to the receivers going over the middle. Listen, don't be looking at that guy coming to knock your block off. He going to hit you regardless. You might as well catch the football at that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, it is Dukes and Bell here on a Black Friday edition of the show. Nick Kale and former Falcons wide receiver Harry Douglas in for Carl and Mike today. We got a loaded show. There's college football going on. We'll keep you up to date with that throughout the day. All the stuff you would typically get on the show. We've got the NFL Blitz, the Dogs Report, the Falcons Report, and so much more. But Harry, when we come back, we will get to the game on Sunday at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. The Falcons and the Raiders, the playoff-bound Las Vegas Raiders. Can Matty Ice and the boys get it turned around against a quality opponent? We'll delve into that on the other side. Great to have you guys in for the next couple of hours. Nick Kale and Harry Douglas in for Dukes and Bell right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app. All right, 2:22 here on a Black Friday edition of Dukes and Bell. Nick Kale and Harry Douglas in for the guys today. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app. Harry, big one coming up in just about 2 days from now as the Falcons welcome in the Las Vegas Raiders. A Raiders team that has a ton of firepower on offense and could very well make the case today that not only did they beat the Chiefs once, they should have beaten them twice.
I agree with you 100%, Nick. Now, when you look at this Falcons team coming into this ball game, after that performance against their rival last week against the Saints, there should be a bad taste in everyone's mouth who actually partaked in that football game. The mindset this week has to be, let's be the more physical team, and let's make the plays when they present themselves. And for Dirk, the OC for the Falcons, let's put these guys offensively in the best position to be successful.
You know what's funny is I was listening to you live with John and Hugh on the morning show a couple of days ago, and I thought you were just spitting fire, and you were 100% spot on when you mentioned that this team is too finesse.
Yeah.
You mentioned that, you know, we look at coaching, right? Like, Dirk has got to put these guys in a position to succeed, just like Sean Payton put Taysom Hill in a place where he would not fail. And then the last thing that I thought you were spot on with is, yeah, we look at this Falcons offense and we know we can score with a lot of people, but the reality is we struggle against the better defenses. Like, we can carve up the Jaguars or whoever, but when you play the Saints and some of these elite defenses, we're struggling to score points.
And I actually pointed out the Saints defense, which is top 10 in the NFL, the Green Bay Packers defense, who I think is the top 12 defensive team in the NFL, the Chicago Bears, who is a top defensive team, 12 defensive team in the NFL, and you look at all three of those games, in actual reality, the Falcons offensively, got their asses kicked in every last one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Point blank, period. So now it boils down to, and part of your job as an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, head coach, whatever your title is to understand your personnel 100%. And not only that, understand your opponent's personnel 100%. Now, one of the things I give credit to Bill Belichick in New England credit for over the years is that Tom Brady may throw for 300 or 400 yards 1 week, but then they may rush for 300 yards the following week.
Yep.
Now, in saying that, you're looking at the team, your opponent that you're playing, and saying, okay, we might be good passing the football, but this team is terrible in the run game. So you know what we're going to do this week? We're going to run the football. We're not just going to air it out just because that's our strength. That's not a balanced football team in my eyes. A balanced football team is a team that's willing and able to look at their opponent, and they can exploit their deficiencies from any level.
You know what I'm looking at with this game is as I try to figure out, like, okay, I see the Raiders are a 3-point road favorite, and you look at some of the metrics. I think this is going to be a game that's going to be played in the 30s. The Falcons are giving up the most yards per play in the NFL at 6.4. The Raiders are 26th at 6.0. I don't think either team will be able to stop the opposition, but I think it's just going to come down to, I mean, whether it's Foye Oluokun against Darren Waller, or just really any of these matchups where the Raiders on paper seem to have an advantage. Because they've got, I mean, let's face it, Carr is playing like at an MVP level.
Yep.
You've got Jacobs and Waller and Renfro. Nelson Aguilar went from being a guy in Philadelphia who couldn't catch a cold, and now all of a sudden looks like Tim Brown 2.0. I mean, dude, the Raiders, they've got 6 or 7 guys that can beat you. We're going to have to find a way to score 35 in this game.
I agree with you. And when you look at this Raiders team, like you just alluded to, listen, Derek Carr is playing at an MVP level. He is doing a phenomenal job. And one of the things that John Gruden is allowing him to do is, and you notice it now, when without fans in the stands, you can actually hear things. He's taking more control of the line of scrimmage. So one thing I know they're doing is going to the line of scrimmage with not one play call, but at least 2 or 3 different other ones, and giving Derek Carr the ability to get them into the right play. Another thing I noticed that they do on offense, they create confusion before the football is even snapped.
Mm-hmm.
They are motioning, shifting, speed, sweep motioning, ghost motioning, fake reverse, almost every single play.
Oh, so basically everything that Dirk doesn't do.
100% agree.
Jesus. I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer, but come on.
But I'll tell you this, though. When you do those things on offense, listen, it doesn't matter. The Raiders beat the New Orleans Saints, right?
Yep.
So you haven't – and one of the things I noticed on film – what the Raiders tried to do the first 2 drives is what the Falcons tried to do the entire game, is try to go deep, take the deep shots. You know what they did on drives 3, 4, and 5? They figured it out. They said, you know what? Let me get this football out of my hand quick. Let me motion these guys and shift these guys and give these fast linebackers and these players that play instinctively more things to think about than just teeing off on our quarterback or our backs. And that's what they did, and they were successful, and they actually came back and beat the New Orleans Saints doing it.
All right, we know Derek Carr has been playing at an MVP level, kind of like he was a few years ago before he got injured. But what about our quarterback, Matt Ryan? Let's hear from number 2 when he says about, look, this is a team game, but first and foremost, it starts with him.
Yeah, I think, you know, I've got to do my part in terms of getting the ball out and finding ways to, you know, just make sure we're in the right protections, make sure we're sliding the right ways, getting our double teams where we need them, and just, you know, finding good spots to deliver the football. And so it takes all of us, you know. I think, you know, when you look at it, when you give up, you know, a few sacks like that in a game, or a handful of sacks like we did, it's never just one thing. And so we've all got to pull our weight a little bit better, but, you know, that starts with me.
And that was Matt Ryan. This is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Nick Cale and Harry Douglas in for the guys today. And Harry, look, Matt got sacked 8 times last week against that Saints defense.
Yep.
And I'm willing to venture you could probably put 5 or 6 of those sacks maybe on Matt for holding onto the ball too long, or also on Dirk Cutter for really dialing up plays that take way too long to develop.
Nick, I'm going to tell you exactly where those sacks went to. Number 1. There was a few times where I seen the offensive line, the tight ends, and the running backs not being physical in pass protection, right? Just getting whether somebody was getting beat one-on-one. Todd Gurley one time got ran over in the hole and created pressure up the middle. Now, secondly, you have the receivers, though, and the tight ends. Those guys have to get open versus man coverage. The first third and four of the ball game, they're down in the red zone, and the Saints decide to play a coverage we call 77 brackets, right? They're going to double team the two best offensive threats for the Atlanta Falcons. That happened to be Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley. So they doubled those guys off outside with the safety in the corner on both sides, and they left Ito Smith, they left Hayden Hurst, and they left Russell Gage one-on-one. They tried to run a double move with Hayden Hurst, but he's getting jacked up and not winning his one-on-one matchup, and that's just throwing everything off. Thirdly, Dirk is a part of it also. He has to do a better job. And lastly, Matt Ryan, he is a veteran quarterback. He has to understand and know and realize his personnel, that he can't just sit back there and hold that football. So it's guys blocking and studding up, being more physical, the receivers and tight ends running better routes, Dirk Cutter and Matt Ryan. All those things collectively have to be on point for this team to thrive within this offense.
Let me throw out this thought that I had, and I think I'm seeing it correctly, but I'll defer to you as the former receiver in this league for a decade. You know, on Sunday, and it wasn't just Sunday, but I'm watching that game, and I see so many times, whether it's Calvin or it's Julio, and I know Julio Jones is not 100%, but these guys are just getting mugged each and every week, and I tweeted out that I think the Falcons receiving core gets mugged week to week more than any receiving core in the NFL. And I'm talking like after 5 yards, where technically it should be a penalty on the defense. Are you seeing the same thing, or are we just not physical enough to fight off of those battles?
Hey, yo, Nick. Hey, yo, Nick. Hey, yo, Nick.
Yeah.
Let me explain something to you, Nick. My receiver coach used to tell me, don't come to me telling me somebody grabbing. Get his ass off you.
Right.
Make them call him or make them call you. Point blank, period. I told somebody. Somebody tweeted me and said, well, it looks like on this play that I broke down on my Twitter that Hayden Hurst is getting hell. Don't nobody want to hear that. Don't no coach want to hear that. Get his ass off you. Throw that little pissant down.
Yep.
Get him off of you. You got to be physical. And number one, you have after Calvin and Julio, most of the guys are young, right?
Right.
Official's not going to give you that call. You're a young buck. You're not a household name in this league yet. You're a household name, you're going to probably get the call.
Yeah, very true. One guy that is not a young buck is Todd Gurley. And going into this year, I said, look, I don't expect Todd Gurley to get me 12 or 1,300 yards. I just want him to be a red zone monster and get double-digit touchdowns. He's well on his way to doing that. I believe he's sitting on 9 touchdowns for the year. But maybe this is just a combination of Todd having, basically our arthritic knees, and then also the offensive line not being able to push and get any, blow off on the line of scrimmage. But really, I mean, Todd Gurley's had 2 games this year where he put up numbers. He put up numbers against Chicago. He put them up against Carolina. But it feels like every week it's 18 carries, 45 yards. Yep. It seems like it's a grind to get this guy going.
And I actually think they need to use their running backs better in the pass game. They need to – Ito Smith is a shifty guy. Put him out there in the pass game. I seen one game they had this year when he was lined up on a linebacker that was playing inside leverage, man coverage, and Matt Ryan threw the ball to Julio in the slot, and I actually thought he should have threw it to Ito because he had that mismatch on a go route, and Ito was looking for it. I think you need to put Todd Gurley in the pass game. That's what we brought him here for. He's a dual threat running back. We didn't bring him here just to be a running back.
Nope.
We brought him here to catch footballs, create those mismatches on from the defensive side of the ball with Todd Gurley. That's what we brought him here for.
Yeah, and Sean McVay used him in the screen game with the Rams brilliantly. We have not seen that here in Atlanta. All right, the NFL Blitz is coming up in just about 25 minutes. But on the other side, we'll welcome in our buddy David Walker from the Falcoholic. We'll talk Falcons and Raiders with David. Coming up next, right here on Dukes and Bell, Nick and Harry in for Mike and Carl. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app. All right, Nick Kalen and former Falcons wide receiver Harry Douglas in for Carl and Mike today. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Radio.com app. We'll get to a lot of Hawks conversation coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. College football, the playoff, rivalry weekend in the SEC, all of that in the 4 o'clock hour. But right now, continuing on, a little Falcons-Raiders conversation as we go out to the WadeFord.com hotline. And welcome in our buddy David Walker from the Falcoholic. David, happy holidays. We appreciate a couple of minutes. How you doing, pal?
Doing good. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you in. So, we're talking about this game, and Harry and I are both fired up about just a lot of the deficiencies with this Falcons team. But I think on Sunday, and there's a lot of guys for the Raiders that you have to key in on and stop, but I'm not sure that there's a guy right now playing the position at tight end maybe short of Travis Kelce, any better than Darren Waller. Is Foye Oluokun up to the challenge of this matchup on Sunday?
Well, it'll arguably be one of the biggest challenges he's faced this year. I mean, Waller is arguably the top receiver for the Raiders. And honestly, if we look at what the Falcons have done this year at tight end, they've struggled. And, you know, they've tried different guys at that position. I think Foye has the ability to do it, but that is definitely going to be a key matchup this Sunday.
Now, when you look at the defense, I'm going to stay on this side of the football, and you look at Josh Jacobs, a physical specimen. What do you see this Falcons defense needs to do to be able to slow him down and stop him from being that train wreck that he's been his entire career so far?
Yeah, you know, that's one of the additional guys on this team that sort of keeps me up at night. Jacobs in his second year has just been outstanding running the ball. Really, it's going to come down to the guys on the entire rotation. You know, we're used to talking about Grady Jarrett, but it's got to be more than that. It's got to be guys like Steven Means. It's got to be Alan Bailey. It's got to be everyone pitching in and doing their part to shut down the run, to cut him off at the edge. It cannot just be a defensive line of Grady Jarrett and a bunch of other guys. These guys around him need to step up as well.
David Walker of the Falcoholic is joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So we go to the other side of the ball, and offensively last week, Matt Ryan was sacked 8 times. A lot of those you could probably put on Matt, certainly Dirk Cutter with the scheme and the game plan. When you look at this offense, now the Raiders are not a great defense, so I think this team should be able to get to 28 points this week. What are you looking for offensively here, or are we at a point now where what we have is what we got because this is the way Dirk Cutter game plans?
Yeah, I mean, I think Dirk Cutter is going to be the guy he's going to be every week. He's not going to suddenly make a bunch of changes at this point in the season. And honestly, I think, as you mentioned, the Raiders just don't have the same quality of defense. I mean, they're second to last in the league in sacks. I think they have just 11 on the year, right ahead of Jacksonville. So I don't think Matt Ryan is going to see the same pressure. And as long as Ryan has time in the pocket, he can be successful in this offense with guys like Ridley, with Jones, with Gage, and even further down the roster when you get guys like Olamide Zaccheaus involved. So I think they can have success, and really it's just going to come down to how much time Ryan has in the pocket, and I think he'll have ample opportunity this Sunday.
David, when you say the name Julio Jones, we know when Julio's out there on the football field that this offense is a ton bit better. Like, I won't say a ton. I will say it's just damn better when Julio Jones is out there on the football field. When Julio Jones is not on the football field, we have also seen this offense derail and not look so good a magnitude of times this year. What's the severity of his hamstring injury, and do you think he's going to be playing on Sunday versus the Raiders?
Well, so far he's been limited in practice Wednesday and Thursday, so that's a promising sign that he'll play. Obviously, this is a hamstring issue that has plagued him for almost the entire season, and I know a lot of people are concerned about it. Here's the thing. I'll take a Julio Jones at 80% versus almost any other receiver in the league simply because he's going to demand attention. If he is on the field, it's going to open up opportunities for guys like Gage and Ridley to see more one-on-one matchups, so I do think he'll play. I don't know if he'll be incredibly effective, but just having him on the field changes the entire outlook of the offense.
And, David, I know that a lot because I played alongside Julio Jones when he wasn't 100% healthy, and I got the one-on-ones while he was getting doubled along with Roddy White.
Yes, sir.
David, I'll get to the off-season big picture stuff with the front office before we get out of here with this interview. But I'm curious right now, like I'm watching Todd Gurley, and unless you are in a touchdown-only fantasy football league, you're probably not thrilled with what Todd Gurley has done. Yeah, the touchdowns have been there, but the yards per carry. I mean, really, 2 games this season, he's put up some solid numbers. The rest has seemed to be like he's been running in quicksand. I know he's only on a 1-year, $5 million deal, and there'll be a new front office coming in. But do you envision Todd Gurley being a part of the Falcons in 2021?
I can't envision it. No, not for that money. Honestly, you know, the Falcons are going to face a lot of difficult decisions this upcoming offseason. They don't have a lot of cap space, so bringing him back on another $6 million, $7 million deal is just not going to work. I think they have to look to get young at the position. And even though Gurley is 26, I think his knees are like 78 years old apiece.
Yeah.
So I understand. You know, he's one of those guys that he looked fantastic coming out. But running back is just such a brutal position. And of all the guys you have to prioritize to extending and looking to keep around for long term, I don't know that a running back with knee issues is going to be at the top of the list.
And, David, I piggyback on what you just said. I think when you have a new head coach that's going to come in, if they do not keep Raheem, you have a new GM. I think those decisions are going to be up to those guys on whether they sign Todd Gurley right. back or not. But it's looking like more likely they want to get young at that position. They because of the cap purposes. This whole thing deals with money. If the money's not there to pay him, you can't re-sign him. So I agree with you 100% on that.
Yep.
David, final one for me. You know, we get to the off season, and you know let's face it. When Thomas Dimitroff and Dan Quinn were shown the door, everybody with a microphone or a Twitter account or a website started saying, "Okay, here's my GM, here's my coach, this is my plan." Personally, my plan is I want Lewis Riddick from Monday Night Football as my GM, and I want Eric Bieniemy as my head coach. I don't think it'll end up being Lewis Riddick, but I'm interested in Rick Smith. I'm interested in Reggie McKenzie. Rick Smith seems to be like a guy that has really nailed some drafts when he was with the Texans, and then he lost that power struggle with Bill O'Brien, which clearly was a mistake by the Texans franchise. Do you think Rick Smith could be very well the front runner and the leading candidate to be the next GM here in Atlanta?
I think you have to consider him. I mean, he's got the experience, as you know, that they had some good draft classes there, and I don't think you can hold him to task for the power struggle in Houston. I think right now the thing you have to consider with the GM is you're going to have to bring in somebody that has experience in navigating the cap. You know, as we just mentioned, the Falcons are not going to be in great position from a cap standpoint. They're going to have, you know, some good draft picks. They're going to potentially have several, you know, comp picks that are coming around. So I think there's actually a benefit to having a guy who has done the job before, because they're going to come into a situation that is, you know, not necessarily easy sledding. They're going to have to make some tough choices. And having a guy who's been in the front office and who's made those choices before could be even more critical as the Falcons look to rebuild.
And I'll say this, guys. We can't forget a name that's in the pot also, a guy named Champ Kelly. Mm-hmm. And when I bring his name up, I'm just going to name some guys that Champ had a finger in bringing in Chicago and while he was in Denver. And those guys are Khalil Mack, Danny Trevathan, Akeem Hicks, Bobby Massey, Roquan Smith, you have Trubisky, you have Allen Robinson, you have Robert Quinn, and then when he was in Denver, he had a hand in the puzzle of bringing in Peyton Manning, Jacob Tanney, Wes Welker, DeMarcus Ware, Aqib Talib, T.J. Ward, Emmanuel Sanders, and guys of that nature. So you can't just ignore that either.
Yeah, absolutely. Whoever we bring in, we need to have a guy that has an eye for talent. So it's certainly welcome someone who has a track record like that.
David, absolute pleasure, man. We thank you for a couple of minutes here on a holiday weekend. Thanks for popping on. We'll talk to you down the road, buddy.
Likewise. Have a great one, guys.
All right, you thanks, got David. It.
David Walker from The Falcoholic joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. And I got to tell you, as we kind of wrap up this conversation, Harry, I know Lewis Riddick was my choice, but I'd be fine with Champ Kelly, McKenzie. I'm not afraid of a retread, and I hate to use the phrase retread, because a guy like Rick Smith in Houston, he had some pretty good success.
Oh, yeah.
And not everybody lasts for 30 years as a GM.
Listen, when we used to play the Houston Texans, I had an opportunity to actually talk to Rick Smith on numerous of occasions, and the man is just so bright. He has an eye for talent. He knows what he's doing, and we see the Houston Texans right now are really missing his presence. Because mm-hmm. when they gave Bill O'Brien the authority, that organization just went to crumbles.
Yep.
And I just think everyone that is named right now as candidates for the GM are good people and know how to do the job. You have McKenzie. He was out in Oakland. He was in Green Bay. He's been in this league for a long period of time. My receiver coach I had, Terry Rubisky, knows him very well. And I'm just glad we have guys that are candidates that actually know what they're doing.
No doubt about it. Speaking of knowing what you're doing, Travis Schlenk seems to know what he's doing with the Hawks. We're going to get to them coming up in just about 30 minutes. But on the other side, as we kick off the second hour, Bo Johnson has an NFL blitz for us with some breaking news in the National Football League. We'll delve into that next as we kick off the second hour of Dukes and Bell here on a Black Friday edition of the show. Nick Cale and Harry Douglas in for Carl and Mike on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.